Patsy. When I was asked a few weeks ago to be the guest speaker on this special Harvest Sunday occasion, I began to think about the history of our harvest sale, 29 years of them, and asking God what he would have me to say this morning to his church. To say that God has used his people here at Tramway through the harvest sale the past 29 years would certainly be a major understatement. This is the first year since 1991 that a number of you weren't crammed into the kitchen in the fellowship hall on the third Saturday in October, kneading, rolling, cutting, and dropping those delicious chicken and dumplings that many drove a country mile to get year after year. In fact, at our last building meeting, Sherry made the comment that she only rolled dumplings once a year. So I told her, I said, well, let me know when you roll them and cook them, and I'll find me a place at your table. And we all know where that went. But don't worry. As some of you know, Miss Winger serves homemade chicken and dumplings the first Wednesday of every month. So as you, some of you do, I'll savor them every month until October the 16th, 2021 rolls around. But seriously, in thinking about our harvest sale, I recalled a letter that I had seen some time ago in one of the albums in the history room. So with that in mind, I visited the history room and found the letter that I had recalled. The year was 1991, and the pastor was the late Reverend Larry Boston. Now, Reverend Boston had written a letter to the congregation detailing the details of what would be the first harvest sale here at Tramway, an auction. And enclosed with that letter was a list of committee assignments for all the church members. In fact, many years, even after Reverend Boston left the pastorate here, him and his family returned year after year, and he would often comment on how amazed he was at what the church had done with the harvest sale and the vision that he had back in 1991. As I read Reverend Boston's letter to the congregation, I read what I perceived to be the church's mission statement at that time, and it read, "The heart, the church in the heart of the community for the hearts of the people." The church in the heart of the community for the hearts of the people. And as I read that statement, continued flipping through the album from 1991, there was page after page of photographs or precious memories of that very first harvest sale in 1991. And believe it or not, folks, that was 30 years ago. Back when the cinder block walls in the fellowship hall were painted that green color, sure, all of you remember that. I mean, I was only six at the time, barely tall enough to scoop ice for the cups for Miss Alice in the beverage room. And as I looked through that album of precious memories and certainly not forgotten memories, and returned the album to its rightful place on the bookshelf, my eyes caught the display case that housed a homemade quilt that Miss Christian Holt made and gave to the church in September of 94. A church member's name was written on each square of the quilt, 144 names in all. Then I looked and reflected on the table that sat across the history room. You know, the table that sat in the back of the old sanctuary, the one that had the chairs beside it where the deacons and ushers would stand Sunday after Sunday and greet the congregation as they entered. And as I looked at that wooden table and the old offering plates that sat atop of it, I thought about some of those faithful men and servants of yesteryear, men like Ben Riggs, Bill Moore, Grover Champion, Gilbert Riddle, Lawrence Coe, Carl Norton, and many, many others. Certainly, many of you recall men and faithful servants that came before us that had a hand in teaching us, training us, mentoring us, and guiding us into our places of service here at Tramway today. As I reflected on these things during my short visit in the history room, I thought to myself, what a vivid depiction of a labor of love. A labor of love demonstrated by countless faithful servants by which God called to serve him through the years right here at Tramway Baptist Church in the heart of this community. Men and women who diligently served the Lord and his church with a true labor of love. Many of these faithful servants who were here for that very first harvest sale in 91 are very much a very active part in the church we know it as of today. So if you were here for that very first harvest sale in 1991, would you please stand? We've got a couple in the sound booth. Thank you for your service. Even 30 years later, still very diligent in their labor of love for the Lord and his church that he called them to. And yes, there's those that the Lord has called home to glory, which leads me to a question. Has Tramway Baptist Church, as we know it, on this 18th day of October in the year of the Lord, 2020, filled the shoes of those devoted and faithful servants? I'm not talking about just putting a name on a list or in a position, but rather really filling the shoes of those devoted and faithful servants in the church. To ask it another way, have we as the current family of God here at Tramway continued to demonstrate the same labor of love as those who came before us did? We've all heard it said, the numbers do not lie. So allow me, if I may, to give you a few numbers this morning as you ponder your response to those questions. The church currently has 173 members on the roll. Pre-pandemic, our average worship attendance on Sunday was 107. That's just 62% of the membership of the church. And in just in case those numbers hasn't grabbed your attention, how about our current list of church leaders and officers and those serving in areas of service here is comprised of only 61 names. That calculates to only 35% of the church's membership, or 57% of the pre-pandemic average worship attendance. I wonder, church, do any of these numbers alter how you would respond to the question I posed a moment ago? Do they? Church, don't you think we need to take a good, long look in the mirror? I definitely think so. Don't you? In our scripture this morning, the Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Thessalonica, an exemplary church. In verse 3, our key verse, Paul tells the church, he remembers without ceasing, Patsy, their labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ inside of God the Father. Labor speaks of toiling to the point of exhaustion and working for the Lord. The Thessalonians did so in love. The Greek word here for love is agape. That is, church, the highest, most selfless act of God's love, as expressed by Christ when he died on the cross at Calvary. The Thessalonians' deep, self-sacrificial love for God motivated them to labor for him. Their labor of love wasn't based on their ability, but rather their availability. They made themselves available to God in his service. And although the exact type of labor was not stated, several theologians and commentators speculate that the theologians helped Christians undergoing severe persecution and privation. Others believe they helped to spread the gospel. But at any rate, a labor of love does the ongoing work of sanctification and transformation in us to conform us in the image of Christ. For a labor of love calls us to serve, to care for others, to be in constant prayer for our leaders, to learn, to teach, to train, to mentor, to give, and to, in some cases, to even die for the sake of the gospel. And make no mistake about it, folks, In regards to our harvest sale through the years, every quilt, afghan, baked good, craft, and piece of furniture that has ever been made and donated over the past 29 years was nothing short of a labor of love. Likewise, every ham, shoulder, roaster, and green bean that has ever been cooked, and most certainly every dumpling that was kneaded, rolled, cut, and dropped into a pot of boiling chicken broth, every plate that has ever been prepared through the years has most definitely been a true labor of love for our Lord and His church. For we read in Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Understand, church, that a true, genuine labor of love consists of four key components: faith, prayer, sacrifice, and certainly hard work. A labor of love without faith is useless. As Mark 11:22 puts it, plain and simple, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Just four short words, but powerful enough to move any mountain. Faith is like a muscle. We either use it or we lose it. It's that simple. Those of you who have been through any type of rehab or physical therapy have likely heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with perseverance. Church, our hope should be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We are to wholly claim to Jesus' name. For Christ and Christ alone is the one and only in which we can stand, especially in the sin-sick world we live today. Faith is truly a matter of the heart, and faith is the most dynamic force available at our disposal. However, it's up to us individual what we do with that faith. A labor of love calls us to persistent prayer. And I'm not talking about part-time or occasional casual prayer when we think about it, but I'm talking about real intercessory prayer that connects our heart to the heart of God. We read in Jeremiah 3:33, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Be honest with yourself, church. When is the last time you prayed for the church? I mean, really, sincerely prayed for Tramway Baptist Church. When is the last time you bathed the church in prayer? Dr. Allen, our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, our committees, our outreach and mission opportunities, anything in regards to the church and the servants that He has called in His church, when has the last time we prayed for them? I wonder. Prayer is our direct line to God, and no matter how many times we call on His name, we will never get a busy signal. I promise, God is available 24/7, 365. Listen, anything within the will of God is accessible through prayer. God calls us to trust Him, and He responds to our prayers according to His will and His purposes. God's response to our prayers will always, always, always demonstrate His power, and He is all in accordance to His will and His plans. Therefore, as believers, we must approach God with our requests because of who God is. For Acts 2:42 tells us, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer." When the early Jerusalem church members devoted themselves to prayer, they did a lot more than just reading a name off a list. They were fervent, intense, and passionate about prayer. They had no doubt that God was listening and that He would respond. Listen, church, prayer is not an add-on. Prayer was the lifeblood of the early church, and the same holds true for the church today. There is absolutely nothing that compares to a group of believers who love one another, praying for one another. For God tells us where two or three is gathered in my name, there I will be also. A labor of love believes in God to do great and mighty things through prayer. A labor of love calls for sacrifice. Sacrifice of self and sacrifice of individual preferences. For the Apostle Paul gave us an example to follow in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Our attitude is to be that of Jesus Christ. That is, we are to have the mind of Christ. We live among a generation with the mindset of entitlement, and this generation is slated to be the future leaders. God help us. For a true, genuine labor of love isn't concerned with what is received, but rather what can be given for the betterment of others. A labor of love isn't about being served, but rather utilizing the God-given talents, gifts, and resources entrusted into our hands to edify and serve God and others. Church, we don't need to just bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We need to bring the sacrifice of ourselves as well. We need to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. For a labor of love is demonstrated by hard work. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Work was God's idea. After all, God is a worker too. And God calls us to use our talents to build, create, lead, train, and mentor those fallen behind us. It doesn't matter what the work is. It just needs to be done for the glory of God. For Genesis 1:27 tells us that we were created in the image of God. Therefore, the work we do should be a reflection of God, our Creator. Do you think God is pleased with your work, your vocational work? What about the work in your service for the church here at Tramway? Do you think God is pleased with you? Understand, church, work in of itself is a form of worship. It is the vehicle by which we live out our calling in Christ. We can sing, we'll work till Jesus comes Sunday after Sunday till the cows come home, but if we don't put no action behind our singing, church, we've missed the point. Each and every one of us was created in the image of God and are to use our hands, our feet, our minds, and our heart to work to glorify God and bless those we meet along our way. When we put forth hard work, we please God. And the work in which we produce glorifies our Creator who equipped us to carry out His work in this world in which we live. So how do we foster a labor of love through these four components of faith, prayer, sacrifice, and hard work in our own individual lives to be the faithful servant God has called us to be in His church? First and foremost, we must see church as God sees it. Listen, church, we must be willing to see the change in both our personal lives and the life of His church that needs to take place, ever how painful it may be sometimes, and commit ourselves to serve as instruments of change, whatever the cost, for the glory of God. We must open our eyes to see the reality of His solution and not the problem. The courage to move the church forward in God's direction. It requires letting go of our personal preference, our personal style, and heed God's commands for His church. God is the potter, and we are the clay. We are the clay. We must allow Him to mold us and make us into what He wants us to be and use us to grow His kingdom. It's not about us, church. It's all about Him. For a labor of love calls us to have courage and strength to let go of self-will and allow God's will to be done for His glory and His honor, both in our personal lives and the life of His church. Our individual lives nor the church will ever reach our full potential in what God created us to be if we fail to take this very important step. We must have a heart for community, a heart for community outreach and involvement to see people ever how different they may be through God's eyes. For we are all God's children created in His very image. Red, yellow, black, and white, God's children are precious in His sight. We must love like Jesus. We all encounter people who are unsaved every day, and our individual lives may be the only Bible some people read. What message are they reading through our lives? A labor of love calls us to be Great Commission Christians in a Great Commission church, to do whatever it takes to reach out into the community with the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ so lost souls may be saved. Church, we must open our eyes to the needs of others, living like Jesus, putting the needs of others first. For a true labor of love puts God first, others second, and self last. We must have a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching others to be true bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ, which empowers a life of purpose. We must be a catalyst and instruments to make a difference in the lives of others, believing that nothing is impossible for God. If the church is ever going to fill the shoes of those who came before us, we must mentor the shoes that are following behind us. Otherwise, the church as we know it will cease to exist in due time. We have to understand everything we have this side of heaven is temporary, including the church's finances. They're not ours, but God's to use for His glory and His honor. A labor of love understands that proper stewardship of the church is to carry out the mission that God has called His church to. We must be faithful church members who encourage and support the pastor and leaders that God has called to serve Him in His church. For a labor of love calls for consistent prayer. We should desire to be prayer leaders in His church, believing prayer to be the lifeblood of the church. And church, I truly believe with all of my being that each and every one of us here at Tramway, if we would commit ourselves to faithfully and wholeheartedly work for the Lord and allow Him to foster a true, genuine, unwavering, unfaltering labor of love in our own personal lives and the lives of His church, Tramway Baptist Church will truly be the light of the world that we read of in Matthew 5:14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord, and we pray that Your word has spoken to us this morning, Lord, that it has touched our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would truly strive each and every day to demonstrate that labor of love that You call us to have both in our individual lives and in the life of Your church, Lord, for Your glory and Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. During this time of quiet meditation and reflection, I ask that you be obedient to the Holy Spirit as God speaks to you this morning.